Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. Thanks so much for that. Brother Joel here, who is the moderator of our council, our lead elder, just has an announcement and is going to offer a prayer as well.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to start by reading scripture. I always ask for a receipt from the Lord, and I got one, or I think I got one. It's Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. We are meeting this week as leaders of the church, as elders, meeting with Hope Mission. So we really, really need prayer. As we were worshiping here, the thought came on me, this is like a pre-marriage counseling. We're getting together with them. And things can come out in premarriage counseling that didn't come out during the dating or courting process. So anyways, I would really, it's Wednesday afternoon. If you put a reminder in your phone or whatever it is to pray for us, that we would have wisdom, that we would have insight, that if the Lord gives us a hard word before, during, or after, that we would steward a hard word, whatever that looks like. And so I would pray for courage for our leaders, for discernment, and that we would be listening to what the Lord is saying. He's speaking, and sometimes what we want, if we want something so much, it's almost like we shut off the Lord's voice into that. And so I would ask for prayer for us as leaders that we would shut off what we want, what we think. We would be able to be able to turn that down enough to hear what the Lord is saying, what He wants, and what He desires, even if it contradicts what we want. And that we would have that spirit that God talked about saying, we give this up. We're giving this up for the Lord's sake. So anyways, please pray for us. Ask for dreams. I really like dreams that the Lord gives that line up with reality. And so, yeah, pray that He give our leaders dreams or somebody in the church dreams to share with our leaders before we go in. So let's just pray now, and that we would hear God's voice in this. Heavenly Father, I just thank You. I thank You that You're the God who speaks. You're the God who has plans for this body of believers, us as a group together and us individually. But we're asking for wisdom this week as we get together with the leaders from Hope and we figure out what does this look like? What are Your plans for us together, separately, and that we would see Your hand and we would be obedient. I pray for wisdom and discernment. I pray for things that are outside of our natural even abilities, that You would supernaturally give the leaders gifts and You would enhance the ones that they even have. I ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Joel. Please do what he said. Please put that reminder in your phone. There are some things God doesn't do if his people don't pray. So let's pray again. Lord, we need You in this time. Would you meet us in this time? Would You open Your word to us? Would You grant us understanding? Would You grant us a spirit of revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation? Would you guide me in this time that I would speak Your word with Your heart? And I pray that as a result, we would leave this place having met You, having been equipped and even emboldened to represent You well. In Jesus' name, amen. The pastor forgot his Bible this morning. You can laugh. It's okay. I got a backup. It's on my phone. So I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read our story from last week again because it leads us into this week's passage. So Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth, he was paralyzed, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's pause there. There is a partnership between God and his disciples, Peter and John, that results in a healing. God does the heavy lifting, but he requires something from Peter and John. Do you see that in the passage? God can do anything he wants at any time. He could have healed this man independently at any time, and yet he waits to use Peter and John. Have you thought about that? God usually seems to look for partnership with his people before he will do something. Right? Think about the people of Israel in slavery in Exodus, in Egypt, in the book of Exodus. God really wanted them not to be in slavery anymore. What does he do? Who does he send? Who does he send? Thank you, Moses. He sends Moses. Why does he do it by himself? Does Moses add value to that equation? No. Well, like yes and no, but only because God chose, this is the way I'm going to go about it, right? You bring something to the equation in the sense that God does want to use you. He's looking for partnership. We're going to get to the end of this passage. And there's the verse I've quoted to you already a number of times, and I'm encouraging you to memorize at some point. The disciples pray, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Through the name requires that someone speak the name of Jesus into a situation, which is what Peter and John did. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And it's because they partner with what God is doing, and he gives them the credit card, as we talked about last week, the name, that this man is healed. But that kind of partnership with God, that willingness to be used, requires a boldness in us. And there's a boldness that Peter lays hold of to see this thing through. But it's not because Peter became an entirely fearless person, as though Peter would never have another fear in his life again. Okay? And I say that to you so that you don't think that these are superstars who are on a different level, as though this story has nothing to do what is on offer for you and me to step into. Peter had not lost all fear for the rest of his life, and I'll prove that to you. If you look at Galatians, I'm not even going to read the story for you, Go find it afterwards. The book of Galatians, Paul tells a story about how Peter was sitting down doing the right thing for a little while until some other people he respected walked into the room, and then he started doing the wrong thing. And the text explicitly says that Peter stopped doing it because he was afraid of what they thought. That's 10 years down the road from the story today, 10 or 20 years, something like that. Peter hadn't lost all fear for the rest of his life. Peter instead, in our passage, laid hold of a boldness. He grabbed onto a boldness that's on offer for you and for me. Fear still shows up, but boldness says you don't get the trump card. Okay? Does that make sense? Great. Let's read the rest of the story here now. Actually, no. Hold on. Sorry. Let's talk about what boldness is and isn't. Like I said, boldness is not fearlessness. It's just letting, it's making sure that fear does not have the final word in whatever is going on. Boldness is also not pride. It's not being sort of super arrogant, feeling superior to everyone else so that you don't actually care what they think. That's not what boldness is. Boldness is also not being pushy, being aggressive and assertive, like a person who says, I have to have my way, or I just have to speak my mind, or something like that. Like, that's not what boldness is. Those are like parodies and... It's not being a jerk. It's not being someone who has no filter. That's not what we're talking about today. I don't know exactly how to define it for it, so I'm trying to say, well, what it isn't first, but it's something like sort of letting go of your own fear, your own agenda, your own ego, and being willing maybe to just step in and represent someone else. Have you ever had to be an advocate for someone else? If you've ever had to be an advocate for someone else, then maybe you understand boldness a little bit in like the proper sense of like, I'm not here for myself, but I got to help someone else out in some way, so I'm going to step in and do the right thing. It's not about me. And I think that's part of the boldness here that we see that like properly, like represented properly, is like there's something that matters to God and my ego isn't wrapped up in it, but I have to find a way to represent God well in the situation. That's where boldness comes in. My job is just to represent him, and it's not about me anymore. So I'm going to leave my stuff aside and step into the task, the role that he's asked me to fill. Something like that is what's happening in this passage. And I want you to look for it. It's a long story, and I'm going to read the whole thing. Right? And I want you to look for all of the different ways that Peter steps into like this bold role. He shows boldness. So starting at verse 11, picking up just where we left off. The man who'd been healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, the governor. Though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one. You asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled his plan. Skip down to verse 19. He calls them to repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that he will send the Messiah Now skip down to verse 23. Anyone who does not listen to this Messiah will be completely cut off from his people. Skip down to verse 26. God raised up his servant, speaking of Jesus, and he sent him to you to bless you, turning each of you from your wicked ways. He's calling things as they are, isn't he? Now look what happens. Chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came running up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so that the number of men who believed grew to the number 5,000, right? So it was 3,000 a couple days ago, but this guy gets healed and the news spreads and 2,000 get added in a day. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Pause here, just so you understand what's going on. This is not like our church's leadership called you up because we have a little bit of a misunderstanding. This is like the highest civil authorities in the land, right? They have the authority to do everything but put you to death, kind of thing. So it's that level of authority that they're being arrested by, okay? So the next day, the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. The high priest was there. They named them. Verse 7, they had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this healing? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved. When they, the highest leaders in the land, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from this council, which is called the Sanhedrin. And they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed this notable sign. We cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in this name of Jesus. So they called Peter and John back in, and they commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we can't help speaking of what we have seen and heard. And after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, so a group of disciples, people who believe in Jesus, and they reported everything that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they, the wider church, heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer and said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. You spoke through the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod, King Herod, and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. You see all the boldness in this passage? There's the boldness first of being able to tell someone in the name of Jesus, walk. I mean, that takes courage. But then Peter accuses the crowd of people of saying, you killed Jesus. You killed the author of life and you asked for a murderer in his place, right? He accuses the leaders specifically of rejecting the person that they were longing for, the Messiah. He tells the crowd to repent in no uncertain terms. He tells them, if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to be cut off. He makes it very explicit. There is no other name by which you may be saved. It's not a whole multiplicity of ways. It isn't a whole bunch of different gods. It isn't you choose your way, I go mine. It's Jesus or you're in trouble. That's how bold Peter is, right? They refuse to stop speaking, even when they are threatened and then threatened again. And at the end of it, after all that they have been through, having been called before the highest authorities, having been threatened, having been arrested, having been threatened, having been told, don't do this, and knowing it all happened as a result of a healing, they say, Lord, do more healings and give us greater boldness to speak your word better. Like, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Well, why would they do that? Well, for starters, because 2,000 people said yes to Jesus as a result of this. But man, where does this boldness come from? Would you put the first quote up on the screen, please, Olivia? Peter and John's boldness, say two authors, does not come from their own eloquence or powerful intellect. Luke explicitly cites the source of their extraordinary courage. The Jewish leaders took note that these men had been with Jesus. Where did boldness come from? You struggle with fear? Spend more time with Jesus. Not sure what to say? Spend more time with Jesus. That's part of it. There's another part too. And I don't have this up on the screen, but look at verse 8. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Where does boldness come from? Well, it comes from being with Jesus. It comes from being filled with the Spirit. Where does boldness come from? Look at verse 29. Help us speak boldly, Lord, they pray. Help us speak boldly. Where does boldness come from? It comes from asking God for it. But then look at verse 31. They spoke the word of God boldly. Boldness comes from asking for it, from being filled with the Spirit, from spending time with Jesus, and then doing something about it. And then stepping out and activating it. Right? Would you put the next slide up, please? The prayer that they prayed. I keep quoting this. I would really, really encourage you to memorize these verses, and I would encourage you to memorize them by praying them. This is one of those passages of Scripture that it's like, friends, like, God gave us a script. Like, here you go, pray this. This is what my disciples prayed. We could probably do worse than pray the prayers that God authored himself. Like, he put this in his book. Right? Let's pray this prayer. This is a prayer that God would do again what he did that result in such a way that God would do the same thing again, because the last time God did it, 2,000 people came to Jesus. As well as, of course, one man's life being put back together in a way he could have never hoped for. Apart from Jesus, pray for boldness. And then speak. Now I want to talk about the leaders for a minute. 2,000 people see the sign and say yes to Jesus, right? 2,000 people see and hear this guy gets healed, and they understand what that sign points to. What these guys are saying about Jesus, they're right. The leaders see the same sign and say, we can't deny this happened, but we're not even going to think about what it means. Stop talking about Jesus. Is that scary? That's scary. That's really scary that two people can see the same sign and draw dramatically, vastly different conclusions. Signs point. The leaders miss it. We had a sign in our church a couple of years ago. We called it the whistle. Some people heard it and saw it. Some people haven't seen it yet. Heard it yet. Leaders in particular seem to have a challenge. Challenge with signs. What do I say about this one? It's interesting that in the week that we're talking now about boldness and talking about the leaders, our government has put out a new bill which is looking at removing the protections that are involved in speaking your religious beliefs, removing the protections that would otherwise classify that as hate speech. You can look it up, Bill C-9. It's not a rumor. It's serious enough out there right now. Like, I can actually show you the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops' open letter to the Prime Minister in response to this. It's serious. I have meetings coming up this week with some experts about the implications for this bill. That what we read about and speak about from the Bible could very well be considered hate speech in a very short period of time. Boldness, friends, suddenly has new applications. But I want to show you something else from this passage. Don't write off those who haven't connected the dots or seen where the signs point. Don't write off the leaders who are currently opposing, whether it's Christianity or the signs themselves, just like in our passage, don't write them off. Because the story that we read in this passage today that ends with them, the leaders, telling the disciples, stop speaking about this name. Stop talking about Jesus. Don't do it again. The leaders that end that story by threatening them, it's not the end of the story for them. In fact, this story itself, after the author Luke takes a moment to focus on something else for the next few verses, is going to pick it up again. The story's going to go further. Peter and John are going to get arrested again. The disciples are going to get arrested again. And the next time they're actually going to not only be thrown into prison, they're going to be beaten. But the result of that shows up in chapter 6, verse 7. Would you look that up? So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of the priests became obedient to the faith. It was the priests who arrested Peter and John. It was the priests that Peter and John had to speak boldly in front of and say, you guys decide whether or not it's right to listen to you. As for us, we're going to obey God. And as a result of the disciples praying this prayer and deciding, we will continue to speak boldly, even though the priests missed the sign, there's something about that ongoing bold witness which results in chapter 6, verse 7. A large number of the priests say yes to Jesus. Don't give up on the people who oppose, and don't give up on the people who have not yet seen the signs. Because God hasn't. And you know what? If they don't pray this prayer, and if they don't choose boldness, if they go quiet, I don't think we get chapter 6, verse 7. There's something about choosing boldness and speaking up that creates something in us that's needed for the next time. And there's something that shrinks inside of us when we know we should speak up and then choose to be quiet. And the next time the opportunity arises, it's even harder. We get a large number of priests who had opposed the sign and opposed the news about Jesus, but the boldness shows up, and there's something about God working that out as a result of the disciples' ongoing commitment to speak up. And it changes the story. It could change the story in Red Deer. It could change the story in Canada. All right, let's do an exercise. Would you close your eyes, please? I want you to picture a scenario that you are likely to face soon, even. A scenario in which Jesus would want you to speak up with a Holy Spirit-led boldness. Maybe it's you're going to be with your family over Christmas, and you know that some of them are pretty openly antagonistic about Jesus. Maybe it's someone you're going to encounter who regularly uses the name of Jesus wrongly. Maybe you know there's someone caught in sin and you haven't spoken up yet. Maybe it's something to do with the whistle. Maybe it's telling sickness to leave in Jesus' name. But whatever the scenario is that you're likely to face in which Jesus would want you to speak with a Spirit-led boldness, would you picture that now? Ask him to bring it to mind. Now, with that in mind, just silently pray this prayer. Just comes right out of Scripture. Grant your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Help me be bold, Lord. Help me to speak your word with boldness. And now, still with your eyes closed, having prayed that prayer and seeing that situation in front of you, ask God to show you what an answer to that prayer would look like. Ask him to show you a version of yourself where the Spirit gives you the words and you act like Jesus in that situation. Lord, I pray that prayer on behalf of the Canadian church. I pray that prayer on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And Lord, may we, like those first disciples, be filled with your Spirit and then step out. In Jesus' name, amen. You know that phrase, stretch out your hand to heal? It's Exodus type language. Probably if you've read a lot of the Old Testament, you'd be familiar with that term. Lord, stretch out your hand, or with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Like that's Old Testament language for God acting in powerful ways, especially in the Exodus, right? As God busts them out of Egypt. But who did God use to do that again? Moses. Did Moses say, pick me for the job? I just reread that story very recently. I'm like, oh man, I can relate to that guy, right? Like, Moses is like, God comes to Moses and says, I want to set my people free from Egypt. I'm sending you. And he's like, can you please find someone else? And he comes up with every excuse possible not to do it. And to the point where God finally says, fine, I will send Aaron, your brother, and Aaron can speak on your behalf because you claim that you're not good at public speaking and you're really too timid. Do you notice, though, if you've read that story through, how quickly Moses becomes emboldened to speak and Aaron sort of falls to the side? Go read those stories again. There's something that happens to Moses as he steps into the role that God has asked him to fill. It happens in the process. The same will likely be for you and me as well. Let's pray he does it again. Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak with great boldness. Lord, we know you do the heavy lifting, but help us do our part, and help us do our part well. Help us to lay aside the stuff that we make it, where we make it about us, and say instead, I'm going to step into the role that Jesus has asked me to. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about you. So Lord, would you enable us to do that? I pray for stories, testimonies soon of courage that was unlooked for, courage that we didn't bring to the table. And I pray that the same thing would happen, that just as we briefly looked ahead and saw that it was the witness, the ongoing witness, the ongoing bold witness that seems to have been a crucial part of some people who had opposed you saying there's something to this I'm in. Oh Lord, I pray that blessing over myself and over my brothers and sisters here, that you would do Holy Spirit enabling in us, and that you would guide us in Spirit-led activities where we speak the words of God and step into the roles, the times, the situations that you have called us to or placed us in to represent you well, with the courage that comes from Jesus and a willingness to speak. I pray that over us. In Jesus' name. We're going to do one final song. So would you rise and worship in response? All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and great boldness as he fills you with his Spirit and draws you closer to him. May you represent him well this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings on you, friends. Thanks for being here.